Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Daf Lametes. We are holding on Lametes Amud Aleph, three lines off the top of the Amud. Tana, we have learned the following in a brisa. V'kulam, in all these cases, which cases, we'll see in a minute, basically when one becomes a caretaker of the other person's property, works on it, develops it, cultivates it, he's entitled to some, you know, arrangement. Shamin lahem ka'aris. We apply the aris rate, like a sharecropper. So you get like whatever is the accepted aris, you know, the going rate, whether it's 30% or whatever. So you're entitled to that much. Now, ahaya, which case are we going on? Because if we remember, we had a brisa, which cited three different types of cases of abandoned lands, which, you know, we would like to care, to, you know, to take care of and look after for their owner. Okay, so we had a case of a shavui, a person who was captured, who was kidnapped, and was reported to have died. So in this case, the Gemara tells us, all agree that, you know, a relative can go and enter the premises and look after them. We had a case of netushim, right, abandoned properties. Fellows who have left, have been kidnapped or whatever, but status, you know, of whereabouts, unknown. In this case, we have machlekes. Rabbanon say, you have no business tampering with that piece of property, leave it alone. Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel disagrees. He says, no, you can go in there, the relative goes in there and looks after the property. Then we have ritushim, properties which have been willingly abandoned by their owners. Basically, the fellow took a trip and hasn't yet returned, and we're not sure what's going on. If he would have wanted, he would have told us to take care of his property. He hadn't. Leave it alone. So basically, this halacha, that the caretaker is entitled to a cut, like an aris, ahai, which case is it going on? Ilema shvuyin, is it going on case one? The fellow disappeared and was reported as having died. Of course the caretaker is entitled to a cut. There's no need to say, because hashta zoriz v'niskar hava. Yesterday we learned that this fellow who's cultivating the land produces, you know, produce, and suddenly hears. He gets wind of the fact that the owner is returning. Right? He's a zariz v'niskaf. He jumps and grabs the produce before the fellow comes back. It's zrizus and it's to his gain. He's allowed to do that. He worked at it. He can keep it. So hash to zariz v'niskar hava. Once we apply this idea of zariz v'niskar to him, my de'ashbach meboye, goes without saying that, you know, whatever benefit, whatever, you know, improvement affected by his efforts in this property, at least partially belongs to him. Of course, we don't have to discuss that. El aritushim. Oh, apparently, we're going on the third case, where a fellow willingly left town, and we call it ritushim. There we say the caretaker is entitled to the arrangement of an aris. Really? V'hamotzin oisamiya d'ktani. The Bryce actually tells us that he's extracted from the property. Get out! Have no business touching the property. Of course, he's not entitled to any cuts, any arrangements. Ella, so the only option is the middle case on the tushin. Properties which were forcibly abandoned by their owners, the owners were captured or kidnapped, and whereabouts unknown. In which case, we say, actually, this is machlekes. Let's see. So Laman, whose shita are we speaking of? Ilayim al Rabbanon, or going on the shita's Rabbanon. Rabbanon say that you have no business caretaking this type of property. We take it out of your possession. So basically, you have no right to anything. Certainly not to get a cut of the property, of the income. Okay, so let's say it's going out the other shita, which allows us to look after the property. Well, his expression in the Braisa is that I heard that the netushim, meaning this most recent case, is treated like shvuyin, like that first case where we received report of the owner's death. So the question is, why does the Braisa have to go and stress that the fellow gets like an aris? Well, obviously, if he's like the case of the Shvuyin, where we learn that whatever he takes is his, so of course. Says the Gemara, not so far. Meaning, although Rav Shimon Gamliel compares it to Shvuyin, but not totally. Because Shvuyin, it's comparable to Shvuyin, but like a Shvuyin, but not exactly like a Shvuyin. Because Shvuyin, on the one hand, is comparable to Shvuyin. De'ein mo'tzinois in miyadai, that we don't kick him out of the property. He has a right to develop it. But on the other hand, he's not like the case of a Shavu entirely. V'loi Shvuyin. De'ilu hasam zaras v'niskar. In the case where we heard that the owner passed away, so there we say, whatever you take is yours. But over here, shamin leka'aris. He's not entitled to keep everything. You see, Rashi explains. Shamu by shemes, when the owner was reported as having died, so the fellow entering that property, you know, his mindset is, I'm going there to keep everything. So therefore he's entitled to everything. But over here, we haven't yet confirmed anything regarding the owner. So here, you're only entitled to the aris arrangement, which is whatever the going rate is, a third, a quarter, as per the common, you know, practice. But now, okay, shamin like aris, he gets like an aris. The question is, why does this developer get like an aris? Umayishna mohadisnan. Why is this different than the halacha of a husband who developed his wife's property? Hamoitzia itzos. On this issue, if a fellow expended, you know, expenses to develop his wife's property, and he divorced her. Hoitzi haibra, doesn't matter whether he spent a lot, v'achal kima, and he only took in a little bit, or kima, he spent a bit, v'achal arbi, and he had lots of income. Doesn't matter, it's unrelated. Masha hoitzi hoitzi, whatever he spent is spent, masha achal achal, whatever he ate is ate. Right? Whatever he ate is his. But there are no outstanding claims. We don't, you know, reckon his expenses versus his income. So here as well. Why do we say that the fellow who developed this property gets like an aris? Whatever he was lucky to grab, he grabbed. Otherwise, he's not entitled to a portion of the shivach, whatever the property improved. Says the Gemara, you know why? Because really, we should compare our case to a different type of case of a man married to a ketana. That's not. I'm waiting to say, let's say, ishti ketana. He's married to isha who's below the age of adulthood, in which case, the marriage is merely midrabbanon, in which case, she can just walk off on him, employing the mi'un method, refusal, right? So there, the lach is that this husband, invested in his wife's property. Is treated as though he invested in a stranger's property, which entitles him to a cut, to a business arrangement, to a sharecropper arrangement. You know why? Amo, and the reason is because since he's not secure in this investment, for all he knows, this young wife will just walk away on him. So he's going to exploit the property. He's not going to invest. He's not going to maintain it properly. He's just going to look to grab as much as he could and abuse the piece of property. Therefore, tekini le rabbanon. Rabbanon made a takono. You know what? You get a cut. You get like an aris. Ki heichi deloy l'sedinu, lest he go ahead and exploit the property and neglect it. Hachanami here as well. In a case of a netushin property, where this fellow is going to go in there and cultivate it, there as well. It's a risky proposition. The owner might return tomorrow. So to ensure that this fellow acts in a responsible way in maintaining the property, tekinu le rabbonon, they made it a kono that he gets like an aris. So he knows that he's rest assured that he's safe and secure in his investment, so that the loyal sedinus, he doesn't harm the property. Now the Brisa says, v'kulam, v'kulam, all these fellows get like an aris. So he explained, it's not going on retushim, it's not going on shvuyin, it's going on nitushim, where we allow this fellow to go in there, but we don't treat him like a husband married to an adult wife, rather to a ketana for concern of exploiting the property. But the Braisa uses a lashon v'kulam. All people are entitled to the aris arrangement. So far, we only have one person. V'chulan shaman lemkaris. V'chulan, the word v'chulam is all inclusive. L'suyah, my, what is it coming to cover? L'suyah, the Rav Nachman, Shmuel, to cover the next case as well. Shavish and Ishba. Right? The fellow was kidnapped. My reason, carving the chasav, we allow the relative to come in and look after the property. But yatzal adas. Let's say he left town calmly, willingly, without any, you know, duress. Ein mayridin karav nechasav. Since he didn't bother instructing or advising, directing people to his property, apparently he's not interested in others' involvement in his property. For Rav Nachman de Omer, Rav Nachman, who quoted Shmuel, he himself added, Boreach, an SKP, Hariyu Kishavi, he's treated like a kidnapped fellow. In which case, you know, since he left in a hurry, we have no indication of his intention in terms of his property, and therefore we go out and look after it. Boreach machmasmai, why did he run away? Ilim machmas karga, he was running away from the tax collectors. Hainu ladas, if it was due to unpaid taxes, then, you know, they weren't coming to arrest him today, so he left calmly, and it's like leaving, you know, ladas, in which case his lack of instructions indicates his lack of interest in our involvement. Ella boreach machmasmardin. He left because he was being chased by the authorities for killing somebody. In which case, he left in a real hurry. In which case, his lack of instruction upon departure isn't any indication of his intention, and therefore, we look at those properties. Amar Gdom HaShmuel, Shavish and Ishba. We have a fellow who was captured, V'niach Kama. Look, sorry. He left behind a ready field about to be harvested. Anavim Liftzer, grapes about to be harvested. Tamar Ligdar, dates about to be picked. Zaysim Limsik. Olives about to be picked. What do we do with this valuable crop? Bezdin Yardin. So we approach with a two-pronged approach. First, we take care of the standing crop, and we do it for free. Bezdin Yardin, and the Chasav Bezdin approach the property of Amidin Apotropos, and they appoint a caretaker, a temporary caretaker, to just look after the crop, the present crop. The Koitzer, you harvest the grain, Ubeitzer. He picks the grapes, the goyder, he picks the dates, or moisek, and the olives of achakach, and then after that's done, we have all that safe and secure in trust of the bezin awaiting the owner's return. Vachakach ma'amidin, ma'iridin karav nechasav. Then comes phase two. We take a relative and we ask him to look after these properties, and of course he gets a cut, like an aris. Why not just keep the apotropos free of charge? Without expense to the owner. We'll let him apotropa. Laila, let us stay forever in the apotropos' hand. Well, apotropa le deknani, le mekmina. We don't look to appoint a bezin appointed caretaker for the deknani, for bearded people, for adult property owners. We do it for yusayimim, for youngsters. People are willing to come forth and offer their services to protect youngsters and help them out. But property owners who left town, not too many volunteers for that. So therefore, initially, just to get the stuff off the ground and safely, you know, stored away, that we do through an apotropos system, but to actually look after the karka on a long-term basis, for that we get the relative and we give him a percentage. Amar Rav Huna, three bo halacha is in this regard. Ein maridin katan l'nechse shav, although we allow a relative to look after an abandoned property, but if a fellow is a katan, we don't give him that authority because he might, neglect the property. One more halacha. Let's say a katan left town in a hurry. Right? So in this case, we don't allow a relative to develop his property, lest he claim ownership on the property. Right? We take it a step further as well. So let's say the katan's name was Levi, and he was kidnapped. He has a half-brother from his father's side named Shimon. And Shimon has a half-brother from his mother's side named Reuben. We can't even allow Reuben, who's a Karev, on account of a Karev, because, you know, he might lay claim to this property, and the Katan won't be able to defend himself. He's just a Katan. What is Reuben going to say? He'll say, well, look, Shimon, my brother, inherited this property from their father, his, you know, the shared father with Levi. Levi got a different piece of property from his father, and Shimon took this belonged to Shimon. Now I'm being yerush my brother Shimon's property. Right? There's always that risk that the katan might be disenfranchised from his property. And the Gemara explains all three halachas. Ein moridin katan, we don't allow a katan to be a caretaker. The nixay shavui of this, you know, shavi's property, the mum absolutely might be careless and cause harm. V'loy karev machmas karev, the nixay katan, a relative of a relative to the katan's property as well, no. Ba'achim yi'imo. We're speaking about Reuven, who is a half-brother from his mother's side, to Shimon, who is a half-brother from his father's side, to Levi. We don't do that, as we explained. And likewise, we don't allow a relative to look after a minor's property. Since the katan doesn't know much about, you know, protesting and asserting ownership, this relative might claim ownership, might claim that he got it from the grandfather as Yerush. So the fact that Rav Huna prefers a stranger caretaker than a relative strange caretaker for the katan's property, that teaches us that ein machzikim nechse katan. A stranger carries no such risk of claiming ownership, because even if a person is in actual possession for 3 years, let's say for 3 years running, which is a halachic chazaka, it's an indication of ownership. But if it's in a katan's property, you don't have a claim. As we explained, because the katan doesn't know much about protesting and asserting ownership. Afilu higdol. And even if the katan now turned into an adult, and the other fellow is still in possession of this property, it doesn't denote his ownership, because when did he enter the property? When did he access the property? When this fellow was a katan and didn't know much. But Leia Amar says, well, this whole idea of not allowing a relative access to the katan's property, ela ba'achi ba'achi da'aba, a relative from his father's side, you know, a brother from his father's side, in which case he can theoretically claim ownership that he got it through a Yerusha from the grandfather. From the father, I should say, right? Basically, he's a brother of this katan. And I'll say, look, you know, we were Yerusha our father. This is my property. But let's say the katan and this relative only share a mother, in which case there's no Yerusha there. Right, because this half-brother from his mother's side will not lay claim to the cotton's father's properties. He's not a son of that father. So he can't claim ownership. Less lombo, so there's no concern. And even when it comes to this cotton's brother from his father's side, where we have that concern, it's only a concern when we're speaking about property, land. But let's say we're speaking about cultivating, maintaining a house. Everybody knows this is the cotton's house. There's no chance that somebody will disenfranchise him from the property, from the house. Or even when it comes to a farm, there's no concern. Only elad leavad itta. That's only when the katan, you know, the bezin did not formally document that the katan received this property as part of his yerusha. Aval ovet itta. But let's say they did formulate this formal document. He has a deed. Kol isla. It's it's publicized. Everybody knows that this belongs to the katan. There's no chance that it'll be kicked off the property. Vlohi says the Gemara actually is incorrect. We take extra precaution and we distance all relatives from a katan's property. Loshna ached the ibo, loshna ached the amma, the abba, loshna ached the imo, whether it's father's side, his mother's side, loshna rata, whether it's property, loshna bati, what's homes, loshna abed itta, loshna abed, whether we have a star or not, keep away. Rather have a stranger come and look after. Lo machtinim, we don't allow the relative to enter. We have a story of Ahi Sabta. There was an older woman, the Habila Tlas Banta. Okay, she had three daughters, Rachel, Leah, and Bilhah. Yishtab boy, Ihi v'chada Barta. So the grandmother and one of her, the old woman and one of her daughters, let's say Rachel, were kidnapped. Okay? Iduch Tarti Banta, now, of the two remaining daughters, one of them passed away, and she left over a young boy who is a katan. So now before us we have a woman, a daughter of the Sabta, and her nephew. And we're not sure what happened to the to the older woman and her properties. We don't know if she died or not. What should we do with the properties belonging to the Sabta? sitting abandoned. What should we do with that? Look, minul nechseb yada da'ach. So should we allow the remaining sister who's here take possession of all of it? We can't do that. Right, on the one hand, yeah, we'd like to maintain the Safta's property, but Dilma Shchiva Safta, for all we know, the Safta passed away. And her assets were now relegated to her kids, her three daughters. And one daughter we know passed away, so her share goes to her son. So now part of this property is technically owned by a katan. And we know that when it comes to a katan's property, we don't allow access to a karev, who might grab the whole thing later on. Vein morid in karev l'nechse katan. So that's a problem. That's not an option. On the other hand, nukmina l'nechse biyada deinuka. So perhaps let's take half of the properties and give it to the youngster. Right? So, meaning, if the Safta really passed away and the daughter that was with her in captivity also passed away, so all we have is the remaining daughter right here and the katan who's representing his mother who passed away. So basically, 50-50. Let the katan have half of the assets. Nukmini l'nichse, Rashi's girls, l'paga nichse, half the you know, assets, be the nuk in the hands of the katan. We can't do that either. Because that's very good if the... That makes sense if the safta passed away. We don't know. We don't have that confirmed. Dilma l'ishchiv is safta. Maybe the older woman out there is still alive. And technically, it's still her property. We can't allow a katan. Right? It's the other halacha. We can't have a katan caretake a shavi's property. So what do we do? I'm going to buy it. Go like this. Hilchach, therefore, we follow the following formula. We split it. Palga, half the property. Yavin l'achsa. We give to the daughter who's in front of us. Right? Because either way, that's safe. If the other two women, the mother and the other daughter, are no longer alive, so now this daughter right here is entitled to 50% of the property, right? So half is hers. If the mother is still around, so worst case scenario, this woman now is looking after, is caretaking, is maintaining for the mother. That's fine. V'idach palka, the other half, mukminele apatrupa, linuka. We appoint a caretaker, a bezdin appointed caretaker, to protect the child's interests. So in case it belongs to him, that's great. Otherwise, the apatrupa is looking after it until further developments. Rava disagrees. He says, look, once we get the apatrupa involved, Rava amigo de mokmin apatrupa lapag, once we get the apatrupa to look after half the properties, big deal, just let him look after everything. Mokmin apatrupa lapalga, we have him look after the other half as well. Now, l'soiv shamu, it turns out that we got reports the shchivo safta, that the safta passed away. In which case her assets were transferred to her three daughters. Right? But we're not sure about the daughter who was with the safta, what her status is. Now, if only the safta passed away, so each daughter is entitled to 30%, right, a third of the properties, including the katan, right? If the daughter out there is also gone, so now the two remaining members of the family, the existing daughter and the child, who is the child of his mother, both are entitled to 50% each. Amar Abayi says like this, Tilsa, we split into three parts. A third, Yavin l'achta, we give to the existing sister. She's certainly entitled to a third. That's a lease that certainly she owns. But Tilsa, Yavin l'inuka. Likewise, a third goes to the kid. That's certainly his. V'idach Tilsa, and the other third, we split into two. Yavin on Danka l'achta. Danka means a sixth. So half of that third goes to the sister to look after. V'idach the other half of the third, meaning the other sixth. V'idach Danka makmin l'apetruba l'inuka. We have the apetruba, look after it. Rava Amar, same as before. Migo, the mukmin on apetruba l'danka. Once we have the apetruba looking after that sixth, mukmin l'apetruba l'danka, we have him look after the other sixth as well. It's all under his care. There's a story involving Mori, that was his name, Mori Bar Isak, the son of Isak. Asale Acham Bechuzoi, suddenly his brother, his alleged brother, shows up from Chuzoi. Rashi explains that the father, Mr. Isaac, maybe it's a spin-off of Isaac, he traveled to Chuzoy with Murray. He married, had a kid, and Murray traveled back, you know, back home. It's been years. Isaac passed away. Murray was Yerush Isaac's properties, and suddenly this fellow shows up and claims to be Murray's brother, long-lost brother. Amrle plagely. He tells Murray, listen, 50% is mine. Amrle says, lay down, Allah, who are you? I have no idea who you are. So they approach Rav Chisda. Amrle says, look, he's not lying. Because you changed your appearance. Now you're a mature fellow with a long beard. Shaper kamilach. It makes sense that Murray is denying your identity because he doesn't recognize you. Shenemar, as we find by the Shvatim, right? Vayaki Yosef as Echa, Vayim Laikiru. Yosef recognized the brothers. They didn't recognize him. You know why? Melamed, because Shiyotav Lechatzim HaZakon, he left them in his youth. He didn't have a beard. So he recognized them. But now he changed his appearance. Ubob, when they came, they showed up, Vechatzim HaZakon, but he had a beard. So yeah, you change your appearance, and it makes sense that he's claiming not to know you. Amar Leis, he says to the, Shav Chizda told the, this alleged brother, Zil Aisi Sadi Dachvat, okay, you have to prove with Adam that you're his brother. Amar Leis, he says, Isli Sadi, I have Adam. But Dachli Mene, they're petrified of this fellow Murray, they're not going to come testify. The Gavra Alimu, who is known as a strong man. Amar Leis, Lididei, Shav Chizda now turns to Murray, says, okay, the onus is on you, Zil Ant. So you go, Aisi Sadi, Lav Achvuchu, that he's not your brother. It's upon you to prove that he's not a brother. Amar Leis, so Murray responds to Rav Chisda, Dina Achi, this is the way to proceed, this is the proper approach. Typically, the one who is extracting, who's claiming, he's got to prove his case. I'm just defending myself. I don't have to prove anything. Amalei Rav Chisda says, yeah, that's typical procedure, but this is not standard. Hachi, this is the manner in which that I judge you and approach you, and all your strongmen friends. Basically, you're a violent fellow, you get this treatment. Amalei, so the fellow says, look, okay, you know what? I'm willing to comply, but what's the gain? So I've said, ultimately, I'm going to bring Adam, and they'll lie through their teeth because they're intimidated of me. Also, Sadi, blame Sadi. They'll come and they will not testify, the MS. Truthfully, they'll mislead us. They'll misrepresent the truth. They'll just toe the line because they're afraid of me. So, what's the point of bringing Adam? Amalei Rav Chisda says, no, I'm not concerned that they're going to go actually falsify their testimony because of this intimidation. Tarti, two things, meaning, Not enough that they'll come and remain silent, let's say, right, due to the intimidation, but to go ahead and actually falsify statements, I'm not concerned. They'll do that. Tatli Abdi, two wrongs they won't do due to intimidation. Therefore, I instruct you to bring Adam to prove your case. L'soif also Sadi Da'achvu. It turns out that Adam showed up that, in fact, this fellow was his brother. Okay, so he's entitled to 50%. But how far? Amrleis, the guy says, look, I want 50% of all the orchards and Pardesia, the vines, and Bustani, and other trees of Shasal that he planted. It's all my property. Amrleis, Shaper Karmelach. So Rav Chisda says, actually, you know, he has a good claim. This is not me of a Mishnah. A person passed away, left behind all the children, young ones. The older ones decided to exercise entrepreneurship, and they went ahead and they developed the land. So any benefit, any gain goes to the pot, the middle pot, family account. So you went ahead and you developed this property, but he gets 50% because technically it was both yours property. Okay, I'm going to how could you compare? See there, this fellow left behind a happy family. So the older ones know that they want to invest, isn't it? But there are youngsters there, and they're gonna have to get their part. So they're Michael. They're aware of the fact that they have younger brothers, and they're willingly giving up, you know, investing for them as well, for the benefit of all. But here, Murray had no clue that he had a brother. He was just working the land as though it's his. So what right do we have to force him to give a portion of this added value to his brother? So ultimately the story was publicized, and Mutl came to Rav Ami and arrived at Rav Ami's doorstep. Amar lahu, and he responded to Rav Chisda's psak with another argument. He says, look, Gedolim izu amru, chachamim, stated an even greater halacha, even greater chiddush, shamalim ka'aris. Right? That was the story that we, the halacha that we began the daf with. A fellow becomes a caretaker on the property of a fellow who was captured, nechse shavui, he gets like an aris, he gets, you know, there's a percentage he's entitled to. Hashta the daily avina lei. So if you go into the stranger's property, you're entitled to a cut. Certainly in this case, a marbar isak. His mindset was that it's his property. Lei avina lei, he's not going to get, at least, let him at least get a cut in his brother's part. So why does Chizza say that he has to give a full 50% to his brother? This is his and that's the other. Let him at least be entitled to a portion of the other 50% too, at least like an artist. The fact is, he put the work in, he drew halakha by the Rav Chisda. So this argument was then sent back to Rav Chisda. Amarlu, and he responded to it. Midami, you can't compare. Hasam brishus nachas. There, by the Yishavui, the Bezdin authorized him to go enter the property. So it's as per the Ur's arrangement. But here, he didn't have permission to interfere with his long-lost brother's property. Void another point. Katanu. The fact is, this brother was a katan. Vain were written Kara Linux a katan. Right? This fellow, his brother is a katan. He's not allowed to have a Kara of look after his property. That was the halacha we learned from Rav Huna. So he's not entitled to anything. Adrol Kamed Rav Ami. So in fact, this information, this response of Rav Chisda was then sent back to Rav Ami. Amar Lui says, oh, I didn't realize that this brother was a katan. Lo simua kamoi. Yeah, they didn't give me this additional fact. The katan who then in fact the brother was a katan, and now I understand Rav Chisda's position. So Mori is not entitled to any portion of the brother's property. Okay, so to summarize, we have the halacha of Shamanim Ka'aris, which pertains to a case of a fellow who left in a hurry, abandoned his property, and if we allow a stranger to go, a relative to go in there and look after it, he's entitled to get something from it, like an Aris. It's compared to a husband in the chasm of his katana wife, because there it carries a great risk that this arrangement might be terminated suddenly. So to avoid any carelessness and exploitation of this karka, we give him like this percentage. Rest assured that he'll get back his investment. Rav Nachman added that the Ibayreach Machmas Mardin, he's being chased by the authorities on account of a murder, is also considered like a shavui, which triggers this whole caretaker process. Rav Huna tells us three halachas regarding a katan. A katan should not be a caretaker. A karev should not take care of a katan's property, or even a karev of a karev, and explain why, because they might exploit the katan and take advantage of its property. We have the story of the Safta of the three daughters, Machlokes Avayi V'Rava, how far does that Apotropa go? And we conclude with the story of Mari Bar Isaac, who had to compensate his brother, give him back his 50%. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.